Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I've gotten plenty of lectures on cultural contamination. But T'Pol never mentioned anything about sacrificing crewmen to prevent it.
If we did tell them who we are, maybe it would do them a world of good. Look what the Vulcans did for Earth.
That was different. These people haven't even split the atom yet. The Vulcans waited until we were ready. Until we had the ability to travel to other stars. We're doing the right thing, Malcolm.
Welcome, one and all, to the Intimacy Podcast.
Intimacy.
Starring Jesse Knight and Dan Glaubitz. Normally, you'd be hearing the It's Got Star Trek podcast, but this one has Jesse, Dan, and Patrick.
This one's different, more intimate.
So Patrick's not here, so now we're the Intimacy Podcast.
It's got intimacy.
So everybody out there, close that mouth, open those ears, ready them hands.
Close that mouth.
And let's get intimate. Ready?
What episode is this? We're supposed to, aren't we supposed to correct the...
Now we do the real podcast. So, okay, yeah, this is the... I was just kidding about the Intimacy Podcast. No. That was a big joke.
I thought that's what we were going to do.
Yeah,
I thought that was the angle we were taking.
Take a big joke? No. We're taking a big something. I don't know. Yeah, the vibe of this episode will be quite different because Patrick's not here.
It'll be a little loose. Yeah.
I'm a little loosey-goosey. But you can't ever... In show business, you got to pretend that everything's great at all times. So this
the show's going on.
So this is going to be the best thing ever. So we both strongly believe it.
It'll be, you know.
We both strongly believe
it. It'll be this week's podcast.
You just gotta let go and let the words flow.
Let it flap.
Let the words flow.
Let the lips come flapping.
Breathe in. Breathe out. And let the words flow. That's what we're doing here on the It's Got Star Trek / Intimacy podcast is we're letting
/ Intimacy.
The words flow. We let our whole body flow, our spirit flow. Let it floweth over. Into your mouth.
Oh.
The It's Got Star Trek podcast. And this week is episode number... What episode number are we on? I don't even know.
I know we were supposed to correct last week's...
Oh, did we...
numeralizing.
Did we do it wrong last week?
That's what I heard.
Well, according to this, last week was episode 244.
Is that accurate? Okay.
I mean, that's according to the...
Because I actually stopped counting several episodes ago.
I don't think I ever kept count.
Perhaps last year.
I don't think
I was keeping count for a while. And then like one time I got, you know, I would get off and then I'd be like, oh yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Patrick would set me straight.
Yeah.
But he's not here. So
well, whatever. if last week was 244, that makes this week 245. And we are reviewing the Star Trek Enterprise issue. Sorry to everyone out there, all of like two or three people on Twitter who, had a great idea for a funny joke to play.
Oh, that's right.
For us to review I, Borg instead. You know what? I did actually watch it last night. I did watch
really?
It.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah. But the thing is like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bit of work to put this stuff together. So like, I could have technically gotten something prepared in the like day or so, but I was like, man, you know what I mean? Man. And if I'm going to review I, Borg, I know like, What is that phrase? Perfection is the enemy of creation or creativity or something. I don't know. But the thing is basically like I'm not saying it has to be perfect just so, but I would like to at least give it the amount of effort I would supply for most of the episodes that I'm involved with. You know, I wouldn't want to rush it out. What do you have to say?
Rush it out.
What do you have to say? You got anything to say?
About what?
I don't know. Just it's loosey goosey tonight, man. We can do whatever the fuck we want. That's what's freeing.
About what is it? Bada bing, bada board.
No, that was last week, silly Billy.
Bada bang.
Bada bing, bada bang. No, that was last week.
Bada borg.
Bada bing, bada borg. Yeah, I don't know. Do you remember? Did you watch the correct one?
Yeah, we're doing The Communicator.
Yeah, that's right. Star Trek episode
Enterprise.
Star Trek episode Enterprise.
Season 2.
Episode 8, entitled The
Communicator.
The Communicator. The Communicator.
Because he left it, it fell out of his pocket in the booth.
What a jerk.
Hasn't that happened to you? Hasn't your phone fallen out of your pocket when you're in a restaurant? And like you're like, oh, I'm such a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that makes me, I know. But I was thinking about.
Like looking all over, I'm looking in the laundry. No.
Yeah, I always look in the same 3-4 spots like the. Over and over again, and I have to tell myself out loud, like when I look at the shelf, I'll have to say out loud to myself, okay, it's not on the top shelf, it's not in this shelf, it's because if I don't, I won't think about it, and I'll just come back to it later like 3 or 4 times,
or a wallet or anything annoying like that. It's like this is what that was like. It was the first time that a human left his fucking wallet on another planet.
Yeah, right. It fucked a lot of shit up. Well, it got me thinking about
got to go get it.
Got me thinking about, well, first of all, my phone, I'm constantly losing my phone, even if it's right next to me. I have an old phone that I use that I can, like, find the location of my new phone with. This segues nice into what I was about to talk about. And I know we have some more beginning stuff to do, but, like, let me just, if it's cool with you.
This is the intro.
This is the intro.
It's a good place to start.
There you go.
It is a good place to start.
Because I have an old phone that can locate my new phone, it's kind of like,
what?
Yeah, it's some weird future we live in.
What are you talking about?
That's a ridiculous.
Where's
sentence.
Your new phone?
My new phone is right here.
Oh, okay. So your new phone, it exists. It's not just like some kind of concept of like, my new phone. My old phone will find my new phone.
It will direct me to my new phone.
Oh man,
in the store.
That's wild.
No. Yeah, so my phone can locate my new phone, and it's kind of like when you go driving. Like, who remembers phone numbers anymore? Who remembers directions anymore? People remember directions?
I just remember how to get places.
Yeah, but like if you're going on a big trip, like you don't whip out the map and you don't think about I-97 ramp into 230-12. You know, like,
oh right, yeah. When I was driving in England, I just let the GPS navigator just tell me where to go, because I wasn't like, I didn't know what was, you know, I'd never been there before, and it wasn't gonna, you know.
I guess you didn't know.
Just tell me where to go.
I guess you didn't
know.
I
did not know.
Right. So phone numbers, nobody remembers, to a lesser extent directions, although directions are still hanging in there. I would argue that they're not as prominent as they used to be because of mapping, our map technology. And as a result, I think because I have this old phone that finds my new phone, I think as a result, I lose my new phone more than I used to.
Oh.
I'll lose it.
Because you know you'll just be able to find it.
Yeah. I lose it and it'll literally be under a blanket on the couch that I'm sitting on. So anyway, isn't that crazy? But that segues into what I was going to mention before we start the show, which is because we haven't started the show yet.
First, this is not starting it.
First, we got to
give them the grand
tour. Stay tuned,
tour.
Everybody. The podcast is yet to come.
There appears to be another setting.
So I was thinking about how they couldn't locate the communicator, right? They couldn't locate that shit. Well, our phones can locate shit, no problem, boblem, right?
Yeah.
But of course, our phones have like satellite technology. The Star Trek crew doesn't have satellite access to this planet. We never find out what the planet's called, do we?
I don't think they name it.
And we find out about the Alliance.
They don't name themselves, really. It's this vague, like, abstract thing.
Right. All we know about is the Alliance, which is the other team. But, obviously they don't have satellite tech, but I would think
they're probably the good guys.
But they were able to, okay, this is turning into a big discussion. Maybe we should just do the intro first.
I know, we should actually, we should get back on track.
Yeah.
And
okay, because
like,
this is
new,
actually
the new business.
Because we could just keep going on and on. Okay,
yeah.
Well, this is the It's Got Star Trek / Intimacy podcast. Thank you for joining us.
It got a little too intimate and we got carried away.
Yeah, that's what happens. But there's no rules this week, so we can say whatever we want.
There's no rules.
As long as we survive. We're good to go. No dead air. No dead air. That's all you got to remember. No dead air. Can't think of anything to say.
I'll just make vape noises.
Make vape noises. I'll just play sound effects.
There appears to be another setting.
If there was a change of plan, they would have told us.
Thanks. It's a good place to start.
They'll never see us coming.
See, I can just do that for the whole time. I can go like
pretty much. Yeah.
I found a beat.
But
That was a Phlox beat. Yeah, he does do a lot of breathing.
He did that for a long time.
Okay. We have to do our beginnerinos. Maybe we can start.
Are they news em ups?
We can start with the mail-a-roos.
Mail em ups.
The mail-a-roos, or would you like to start with the email-a-roo?
Oh, maybe you should do an email first.
An email first. Well, there's one email this week.
Oh, no.
It's called.
It's from somebody.
A Matter of Misnumbers.
Oh, is that what that is?
Okay. Yeah.
Is that what I was referring to earlier?
And see if you can guess who this is from. Somebody we know. Hello, Dan and Jesse from It's Got Star Trek. This is Patrick, also from It's Got Star Trek. Well, shit. Guess we could have figured that one out by now. It's Patrick, quote-unquote, Jam Blaster, Ireland.
Oh, right. Jam Blaster.
I'm writing to offer an apology and a reminder. I haven't read this yet, by the way. Just so you all know, I haven't read it.
Oh, yeah. And I haven't I read this one.
Yeah. Well, I have not. Just an so this is what you were talking about at the beginning of the episode, Jesse. Okay.
Okay, this is why I thought I was going crazy for there for a minute.
You might have been
responding to any of my hints about.
I was hearing that memory is not like a computer hard drive. It's not like we pull memories out of our file banks like
pull
a computer.
Pull them right out of my ass.
Or like a file cabinet. It's not like that. Apparently, well, this is one theory. As one theory goes, yes. Memories are actually. We're not pulling memories out of a file cabinet. What we're doing is we're rebuilding them. Every time we remember something, we're...
Oh, it's always different.
We're rebuilding them. And so there's a risk while you're recalling a memory that you might break it and like fuck it up somehow. So when you remember something...
Change history. Yeah.
So if something happens during the act of remembering something, it can alter that memory. And so,
right.
And
you can just keep adding extra layers of negativity.
And so there's another theory that goes, that follows from this. It says the more you remember something, the less accurate it's possible it can be. Meaning if somebody's forgotten some shit from years and years and then they remember it, it's probably going to be more accurate than if they remember it, which sounds counterintuitive. And
yeah,
it's still,
that's
it's
weird. That's
and it's just a theory, one of those theories out there. But like, it's interesting. There have been experiments that sort of like are the evidence to this, but about that's the rebuilding kinda, of memory. Because they were studying about how to like make people forget shit and they found they could fuck people's memories up if they did some shit while people were like in the process of remembering something. That fucking movie, it's a Jim Carrey life. Break Wind and Smile.
What?
Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine.
The Spotless Mind. Yeah.
Right. I forgot about that movie.
Break Wind and Smile.
It was a bummer.
Yeah. So anyway, that movie, they were talking about how that movie sounded, was like actually representative of some of this theory. Like, I don't know if they meant to or not. They don't know if they meant to, but it kind of like was, it was on a similar idea to that. So anyways.
It would help if things, perhaps they would find things that could help people with brain disorders.
That'd be cool.
Memory problem, you know. Dementias,
yeah,
and such.
That'd be neat if they could figure something out like that from that. Just because, like, people can be of totally sound mind.
Because pretty soon I'm going to start losing it, so they better come up with something.
I think I'm losing it too. I forget shit all the time, a lot more than I remember. But yeah, I mean, I think because like when people have memory loss and stuff, like it's like their mind works fine, except for the fact that they just can't remember anything. So it makes it seem like their mind's not working. I mean, and I don't know a lot about it. I'm sure it's I'm guessing it's degenerative in a way that's like. It bleeds into everything. But you know what? I should really know more about that subject. But that's on the It's a Bummer Star Trek podcast.
It's got aging.
It's got, yeah. But no, this is the It's Got Star Trek / Intimacy podcast. Intimacy. It's a Bummer podcast, not the It's Got Bummer Star Trek podcast. That doesn't even make any sense. Okay, back to the email. See, we're going to get through this no problem. We get distracted.
Whose
so
email?
Many times.
Oh, this was Patrick's email.
Hello, Dan and Jesse from It's Got Star Trek. This is Patrick, also from It's Got Star Trek. I'm writing to offer an apology and a reminder. On last week's show, during which we discussed Deep Space Nine's Bada Bing Bada Bang, I foolishly, absentmindedly, and uncharacteristically forgot to mention the episode number for the podcast episode. Last week's episode was, in fact, episode number 244 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. That information was provided in the episode title, of course, and the more attuned and astute members of our audience two categories which likely overlap significantly with the portion of our audience that would care about these sorts of things, will likely have been aware of the correct number. But we, of course, praise ourselves for producing a consistent entertainment product. And I profoundly apologize for the inexcusable lapse in adhering to our rigorous standards. As such, I'm also writing to remind you to mention that the episode you are doing right now is episode number 245 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. It is important that you state this outright, in addition to reading the previous sentence. I trust that this message will settle the matter for any offended fans. Yours in Christ, Patrick.
Oh, no.
Jam Blaster, Ireland.
Jam Blaster.
And then he gives an address.
Master Blaster.
Should I give the address?
It's the address of where he is now.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't reside there all the time.
But somebody might try to stalk him there.
It's not a precise.
Well, he can edit it out if he doesn't like it.
He can edit it out.
826 K Street, Anchorage, Alaska, 99501, June 20th, 2024, typed, not dictated, on a Pixel 7 Pro.
Yeah, word.
And here we are accompanied this week
by... His secret mission is not so secret anymore.
No. And we are accompanied this week by his... pet cat, his family cat, Luna, who has been hanging out with us on the bench here.
She doesn't really talk. So.
No, she doesn't, but she's pretty sweet and soft and cuddly, and she's pretty being real friendly. Good, Luna. Okay, so that was the email-a-roo.
Whoa.
Do we want to do any voicemail-a-roos?
Yeah, we should get to those.
Okay. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Feel free to edit this however.
I think there'll be.
Patrick,
a bit of cut and paste.
Take whatever liberties you feel like taking. Not that you shouldn't before, but just like, yeah, it's
some surgical slicing.
Don't be worried about stuff that's just not working here. That's the secret. You're not supposed to give away the secret to the audience that you're nervous about what you're doing. That's a rookie mistake. You're supposed to always act like this is the most bestest entertaining,
we
most
know
this
precisely
ever.
What we're doing.
Yeah. And we're very funny, very entertaining. Okay. So first email is from Isaac.
G'day guys. It is Isaac
and Jack
from Australia. We have both called in before, and you've heard some of our issues that we've had before, but we are through those issues thanks to you guys, so thanks for thanks for not only your analysis of Trek but bringing families together. You guys are like a family, but you've broken up this week with Patrick in Alaska.
This, you know the best part of that is? What's we get a week off Patrick.
Damn.
That's true. Damn, so our question to you guys is, now that Patrick's not in the room, do you think that Patrick is a wiener?
Or more of a dingus?
So if you could let us know that, show your workings, and sure, we'll continue to watching or listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Lots of love from Tasmania. This is Isaac.
This is Jack.
Saying live long.
And prosper.
Thanks, Doc.
Wow. Okay. Well, first of all,
What happened with those guys? That's some kind of ominous thing they were talking
about. Yeah, apparently
about.
We brought them together, though. Yeah. Apparently they were facing
some
challenges.
It seems good now, so...
We helped them through the hard times. That's the thing that celebrities always say about their shows. They're like, yeah, people told me that my show got them through a real tough time. Or like a video game developer will be like, someone told me this video game got them through a really tough time. So I'm glad we can add ourselves to that list. There should be a Wikipedia list of people... whose creations have gotten people through a hard time. And we should be on that list.
We're on it already.
Let's make that Wikipedia list. It'll probably get deleted right away. It'll probably be like needs to cite sources. well, we could, though. We could cite this as a source.
This is the source.
Yeah.
Source it.
The source with the force.
Source it, Wikipedia.
Yeah, do it.
I can't think of a better man for the job.
It's going to be difficult for me to do the sound thing, actually, this episode.
You're a dancer, Dan.
I got to be like have drummer reflexes where they can like separate each limb into some different monster.
Exactly, yeah.
Drumming is insane.
Multi-limbed monster.
So yeah, that's cool. Right on. We're way into that in a big way.
So what do you think?
The second part. Is it a wiener or a dingus?
Wiener or a dingus.
Can it be a weenus?
Wingus.
Or a dingleranus?
Whoa.
A wiener or a ding? I don't know. It's hard to think of Patrick as a wiener or a dingus. When I think of a wiener, I think of someone who's like, hey guys, I don't think you should be doing that. Oh.
Right.
Guys, come on guys. Oh.
And he just went on a vacation. He didn't say like, fuck you guys. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, and he didn't like, I think of a wiener as being like a little whiny and like.
Yeah, Patrick's, wiener is like a, yeah. Like
Patrick's not whiny.
Like a little whiny guy. No.
No. No. And a dingus is more of someone who's like,
dingus. Is that what a dingus is?
Yeah. So while I would not normally refer to Patrick as a dingus, given those two choices.
Dingus ate your baby.
Given those two choices, though I would never refer to Patrick as a wiener or a dingus, if I only had to choose from those two, I would tend to lean more towards dingus than wiener.
I think I'm kind of with you there. It sounds more apt, just sort of the way the word sounds, wiener.
Yeah. And dingus. And dingus is like, oh, hello.
Dingus is almost like, hey, dingus, what's going on?
Oh, I don't know.
It's almost friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, dingus?
Dingus, I are lovable, you know. And wieners, wieners are just kind of wieners.
Dingay.
A dingus ate your baby, as you said. All right. Thank you. Jesse, do you have anything to add?
No. What's the next
voicemails? We're 20 minutes in. Jesus.
Oh, I think they'll cut that right up.
Thank you, Isaac and Jack. Appreciate it as always. Much love. I will let my intimacy flow in your direction.
Yeah. Send us more voicemails.
And we'll send you more intimacy.
Yes.
The next one is audio submissions. this one's from Jesse from Open Pike Night.
What's up, Patman, D-Clips, and J-Easy? Or is it J-Sneezy? Anyways, this is Jesse from Open Pike Night, and I was just listening to your coverage of The Royale with Isaac from Unplanned Trick. And I gotta say, it really got me thinking. You guys were talking about how Data in the first couple of seasons was a little bit inconsistently written. Like, sometimes they weren't really sure what an android would do or could do in a given situation. And that really hit close to home for me. You know, I have an android phone and it's kind of filling up and running out of space because I didn't spend like any money on it. It was very cheap. And it's not functioning how it's supposed to all the time. And it's very frustrating. So I was wondering, do you guys have any recommendations for a good android phone? Because I really need to get a new one. So please help me out. Thanks, guys.
That was an interesting segue from Data, morphing from how Data is inconsistent to, I guess, how Android phones are inconsistent, depending on the product you get, or like phones are inconsistent.
He's got an old one? I don't know.
He's got an old one. He wants us to recommend one for him. Now, okay.
I have an iPhone.
Yeah, Jesse has an iPhone.
I'm out.
This is the paid programming part of this episode, here on the It's Got Star Trek / Intimacy podcast. I currently go with a Pixel phone. I don't have the Pixel Fancy. I have the Pixel Redux. It's a Pixel 6, 6A. I'm a fan of it, although I don't know. When this phone dies, I don't know if I'm going to get another Pixel or not. I'm not sure. I haven't decided yet because I've had some problems with build quality with my Pixels.
Are you going to kick it to the curb?
Maybe. Maybe I'll do that. Just that.
Now that you have a curb, that you're a homeowner.
I have a curb.
I'm not telling anybody where you live. I'm just saying.
Garbage cans and stuff. Isn't that great?
Yeah, you can kick your garbage cans.
I can park not on the street, which is fucking amazing.
Yeah, you can park in your yard if you want.
I could. If I wanted
for
to.
A little bit.
If I wanted to, I could build a ramp up to
the... Until your neighbors were like, what are you doing over
I could build a ramp up to the top of my roof and then down the other side and park in my backyard.
That's right. America.
And there's no HOA, so Homeowners Association, for those of you out
word.
There.
That's
look
good.
At Homeowners Association.
Because otherwise you wouldn't be able to do that.
No, otherwise I'd be voted off the island or something. So my Pixel, because I've often, like, my Pixels will break. The 6A has been doing me well, but, like, it seems like every one of my Pixels has ended because it just kind of randomly crapped out. My last one, the Pixel 3, it just stopped charging. And then I tried it again a year later and it worked. So maybe it was just dirty, but I thought I tried to clean out. I don't know. It was fucked up for a while. It could have been... I feel like one of them just straight up got bricked one day because of a software update, but I cannot confirm that is true. I go with Pixels. I don't know what I'm going to go with next. I was thinking about maybe one of those, like, Android isn't there like an Android One phone? I don't know. There's other Android cheapo phones that like, Pixel's not cheapo. I have the medium sized one, but Android One. I was looking at that. I don't know if that's any good. It might suck. I don't know. Yeah, that's tricky. That's a good question. That's a good question. So far I've been going with Pixels my most of my career. And before that it was the Galaxy, the Nexus. Galaxy. No, the Nexus. Sorry, Nexus. I had a Nexus phone.
Nexus.
Then I had a Samsung Galaxy. Okay. So there. I think that answers the question. The question is I don't have...
Whoa, dude.
I'm breaking shit. The answer is I don't really have a suggestion. I just have what I'm using now. And I've been happy with it except for some build quality issues. All right. I think that works. We can now go on to the episode. Okay. So do we want to go back into our discussion we were having about finding losing communicators, or do we want to discuss, like, what do we want to start with? What do you say, Jesse?
So we were talking about how he just lost his communicator on the planet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He just kind of...
Like it was like his wallet fell out at the restaurant.
Yeah. And for some reason, like, their finding technology, they had to use an inverse... Carrier wave.
Oh, right. Because you were saying your phone can find your other phone.
Yeah, but the major difference there is we have GPS. We have satellites surrounding Earth that allow us to get that information.
I see what you're
saying. So, yeah, they don't have that for the other planet. So I was curious what kind of technology allows, because I don't really know about it, honestly, about...
They were just searching. Star Trek always has some shit where they can search for their own shit. Like,
right. And I don't know the equivalent to what we have nowadays. Like, what do we have now? I really don't know.
Yeah, it's not...
I've never looked into it.
We don't have that technology yet.
We might. I'm sure we have something like that.
Maybe the Army has it.
Maybe they tried the inverse carrier wave before because
inverse
of Star Trek.
Carrier wave, that's what it was.
But you notice that, so at first, though, Hoshi was able, they had to, from space, Hoshi had to find it, like, it was within a few blocks or something.
Yeah.
But then once they were in the planet, Malcolm Reed was able to just look at his thing, and it was like, it's this way, it's over in that room.
Yeah,
and
he remembered, I guess he recognized the landscape, so he was like, I've been there, so that's where that was, and that was.
Yeah, but something was pointing him to the direction of the phone, is what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Once he was on the planet, he was like looking at that thing.
Right.
It was all pointing him.
Do you remember when they went into that restaurant where they had been or whatever that was, a tavern or whatever.
Yeah.
And like that dude was like looking at him as they were like walking through. That one guy was just like staring at them.
Yeah, the guy at the table.
The one guy at the table.
Yeah, those guys that they had to get in a fight with at one point. They worked together as a team there because like as soon as they stepped out and they saw the guy step up, like who knows, maybe those dudes at the table were going to give him a commendation or something. You know, like they jumped on into fight mode real quick.
They're from Earth, dude. They know what's up.
They know that
they know when a fight's coming, dude.
They knew a fight was coming. So, and
goes down.
And they took a few out before they got taken down. I like that move Archer did where he picked up that table and like knocked the guy. I want to.
That's a totally Earth move, dude.
Yeah, total Earth move. I don't really get in fights, but like if I ever did, I'd want to be around a table so I could try it on someone. Yeah. See how it works.
The tables on them.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
Literally.
Bah!
Literally.
Literally.
I would not have expected that.
Oh, yeah, and that bartender, he was all perving out, like about Hoshi, remember?
Yeah, that was a little gross.
Oh, it was gross. Yeah. It was weird. I don't know why they added that in there.
Yeah.
See, right now, Patrick would have an explanation as to, like,
I mean,
why they had that in there.
They were just waiting for those guys to come back because they had found their shit. And so, like, everybody was sort of had already conspired to be like, okay, this is what we're going to do when these guys come back. Mm-hmm. So that guy just, I was like, I'm going to come up with the shadiest shit to say about, you know, their girlfriend or whatever. Where's your girlfriend?
Yeah, he's just trying to fuck with them.
Yeah.
Is it break time?
Yeah, it probably is.
Okay, so
let's take a little break.
So I guess
you're done here.
And we're back. Oh my god.
It's not starting, is it?
Oh my god, we're back.
Are you using the clock?
Oh my god, I forgot to turn the clock on.
Oh dude.
Oh, it's going.
Okay, it's good.
Oh my god, we're back.
Shambly podcast.
What do we do? Jesse, what do we do? I don't have anything to say. I ran out of shit to say.
No, you didn't.
Oh, my God.
We're just getting going.
I'm freaking out, man.
Oh, no, don't freak out.
There's no dead air. There's no dead air.
There's not any dead air.
There's no dead air. There's no dead air.
It's filled up with you.
Oh, my God. No dead air. Oh, my God. This is not happening. This is not happening. This is not happening. This is not happening.
Should we listen to what Patrick has to tell us? He might get us back on track a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a good idea.
Set us straight, perhaps.
All right. So this
we're getting a little stuck here at the beginning.
This one, 31 minutes at the beginning of the episode.
Tell me it's your really, orders.
It's not the worst. It's, I mean, we've done worse with that guy here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I let you finish saying what you're saying.
Yeah, you did.
Can I just finish what I'm saying?
Can I finish?
Yeah, let
can
you
I finish?
Finish?
Can I finish?
I'm listening, man.
That was Dana Carvey was like George Bush. He'd go like, "Can I finish? Can I finish? Can I finish?"
Oh, that was Ross Perot.
Oh, that was Ross Perot. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, not George Bush. He did both. So
you're even more delusional than we thought.
They both did.
My sound effects are going to be a little more non sequitorial,
or maybe a good flogging.
I'm just going to start playing random ones.
Are you sure?
Because I can't think this many thoughts at the same time. Okay, this one is from Patrick. It's a question or something. No, it's not a voicemail. It's simulating him as part of the podcast.
Yeah,
so here we go.
It's all over the place.
Here we go. Do you ever hear that song by Dead Milkman, Do the Brown Nose?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do the brown nose.
I have that. I used to have that.
He's like, Ben, or Pup. He goes, Ben, your knees, shabop, shabop. Pucker them lips. Give that butt a kiss. Yeah, do the brown nose. Okay, if you're not familiar with the Dead Milkman, I recommend them.
That's Metaphysical Graffiti.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice album.
Yeah, it is. Anyways, here's Patrick's voicemail.
Hello again, Dan and Jesse of the old It's Got Star Trek podcast. This is Patrick again, a longtime host, second time caller. And hey, real quick, I know I've submitted audio content to you all before when I've been out of town, but that wasn't a call. This is a call. I know I'm still using the same thing we recorded, but it was a different vibe. That was like, it was structured differently, okay? So when I said it was the first time caller last time, that was accurate in my view. This is now the second time I'm calling in. It has nothing to do with what we did a couple years ago. All right, anyway, I'll keep it short, I'll keep it brief. I just want to know what the lesson of this episode, The Communicator, was. I'm a little confused. I think we're supposed to get sort of the generic vibe, Prime Directive-ish vibe. I'm not 100% sure if they entirely got that across or what, but yeah, it's not a critique, more like I'm a little confused, and if you all would like to comment on it, ideally for a few minutes and inserting some humor, that would be great. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. I recorded on a Pixel 710.
Sounds like a lot of cars for Alaska, doesn't it? Who was driving in Alaska?
I don't know. Maybe, a bunch of cars maybe he there. Was like outside of a ship going warp speed, and he was like in the warp bubble standing outside of the ship.
Yeah.
Like in Discovery. He's really into like dictating and saying where his thing is coming from. Remember the email he said dictated, not typed or not dictated by Pixel 7? And then he just said it again. He said something about his Pixel 7. Yeah, thanks, Patrick. You sent us a question.
Metadata.
And?
I'm glad you did it.
Are you glad, Jesse?
I'd have to say I am glad, yes.
We can be glad together. And those,
this is the intimate podcast.
Those who are glad together are rad together. Did you know that?
I did, yeah.
Let's get intimate.
So as he was saying, I think that's kind of, I feel the same way. It's a little confusing. It seems like there's sort of like the precursor to the Prime Directive that they're adhering to. And it's not like it still isn't exactly clear what they're supposed to do, but they know they have to like not contaminate the planet. And they've decided that like, yes, they are willing to sacrifice their lives in order to cover up their, you know, contamination. It's sort of about doing their duty.
And not duty.
And not duty. This is a not duty episode. No duty. This is no duty.
So I wish I could find
duty
which
man.
I can't. I wish I could find which episode it was, because there was a specific episode of Enterprise where Archer was all straight up saying, he's like, we need to have some kind of rules or directive that determines how we treat aliens.
That, yeah.
I can't remember if that was before this episode, because this episode was talking.
We may have spoken about that one.
Yeah, but that was
spoken.
Gosh, I wish I remembered it, because that episode was...
Oh, gosh.
Because that episode was implying that they did not have a Prime Directive yet.
Yeah,
but this
right.
episode was... Were they talking about Prime Directive specifically?
Because it's like... Well, I mean, as far as I know, in their history, they haven't come up with the Prime Directive. But
yeah.
there's like the general sort of like the rules the Vulcans were following or something. Like, you know, just sort of don't don't mess with pre-warp people.
Yeah, I guess I think you're right about that. It was more just don't. So that's sort of separate from.
But it was still like, this is what we should be doing. This is our mission. Our duty.
Duty is
we're doing our duty.
Our duty.
If we die doing our duty, then we're doing our duty.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, and you could tell by that whole, like, when they're in the cell at the end, they're having a discussion of two people that have resigned to the fact that they're going to get executed. That's totally the kind of discussion they were having.
Well, I'm going to play a clip.
Maybe we can save that for the end.
But. I'm going to play a clip that says from YouTube. It says what to do before the Prime Directive, and I think it's according to some Reddit post. It's like they talk about the origins of it. This is with Archer, I think. Phlox. We don't have to play the whole thing, but.
Trouble sleeping, Captain?
Oh, this is
looks
dear.
Like I'm not the only one.
This is dear doctor.
Actually, Denobulans require very little rest, unless you count our annual hibernation cycle.
Okay, this is. I'll just skip ahead. I don't know what this is.
Two.
We did. We talked.
We might have
been about the Mink. What about the Mink? I've been studying their genome as well.
Nope.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle. Forgive me for saying so. But I believe your compassion for these people is affecting your judgment.
Mike.
Stutter. Hunted by LD.
Consent. I spent the whole night reconsidering. We can and can't do out here.
Ah, here it is.
Sort of. Someday, my people are going to come up with some sort of a doctrine. Something that tells us what we can and can't do out here. Should and shouldn't do. But until somebody tells me that they've drafted that directive, I'm going to have to remind myself every day that we didn't come out here to play God.
There it is. And that's from the episode season one episode, Dear Doctor.
Same difference.
All right.
He's adhering to his principles.
So this was season
good
two
Lord,
episode.
Didn't anybody?
No, shut up. What is this?
So, yeah, subscribe.
Okay.
Like Captain Picard.
Yeah, it was Captain Picard. So, this episode was after that episode, but yeah, you're right. They still don't mention Prime Directive. And so I guess they're sort of still warming up to that idea. There was one line, actually, at that seemed to be sort of like, I don't know if it's not really the theme of the episode, but it was sort of a thought. It was sort of meant to be like a thinking point, which was when... Archer says, he says, what's important is that we got everything back. The communicator, the phase pistol, the shuttle pod. We could have done a lot of damage to those people if we'd left any of it behind.
Yes, yes.
And then T'Pol says, we did do damage to those people.
Yeah, right. There's still an imprint.
Yeah. And so the line when T'Pol says, you don't have to leave technology behind. You don't have to leave technology behind to contaminate a culture. While I don't think that was the episode theme, I think that was a thinking, like I said, it was a point with which to think, thinking point.
Right.
To say, like, it's not just going in and, like, showing people things. It's like every little thing you do has an effect on people.
I don't, you know, those, when they were in there and they were blasting everybody, their shit was on stunt, right? It wasn't on fucking, like, kill people. Like,
no.
They went on, their phasers on stun, and they were blasting people on stun. So those people are going to have memories of, like, these people coming
invisible ship comes down from the sky.
Yeah.
It was funny looking at that ship, like, when they I think it was from Archer's perspective, like, we were looking at the ship hole that he was going to jump.
Yeah,
it looked like a TV screen or something.
Right.
It looked like they just, like, had a TV screen up there and were showing us, like, they put that up there. So, because it was really weird. I thought it would have been funny if Trip Tucker III, he, you know how he made his hand invisible and stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I could use a hand.
This was my favorite.
I'm a regular bloodhound.
That's my favorite.
I know, that's when he was like, he wanted to go with him, and they were like, stay on the ship, grease monkey.
I'm a regular bloodhound.
Yeah, that's a great line. So he made his hand invisible. It would have been cheesy, but it would have been kind of funny if the hand he reached out with to shoot, because one hand reached out of the ship.
That's
to start
what it
shooting.
Looked like, because you couldn't see whose hand it was. And it was like, there was just weapon. And it was like...
Well, you could see the hand. It would have been better. It wouldn't have been better. Like I said, it would have been kind of cheesy that he just so happened. But you know what? They could have worked with that. Like, he made his hand invisible. They could have said, well, let's turn from this way so I can reach my hand out and no one will see me shooting, you know?
Yeah.
But they didn't take advantage of that. It was just sort of like a funny thing that happened. I don't know. I can't really call that a criticism, because that could have been cheesy as well, but I was curious about that hand invisibility thing, because apparently you don't need a power source, or maybe it uses very little power to power that cloaking device, because his hand was just like cloaked and there was nothing powering it that we know of, right?
Right. He just got blasted with some kind of particles.
Yeah, but like you'd think it would require some sort of power source to cause something to become cloaked, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he just got hit by like a wave of, you know, cloak energy.
Yeah, but like,
I don't know.
I feel like
I bought it.
When I think about cloaking, I think about, and I know it's ridiculous sort of like to bring up like how to cloak, but I think of something like, okay, either you have an array, either, okay, I was thinking you would have a material that simultaneously accepts input and output. So it's like you can look into it like a TV, but it can also record outward like a camera. Right. And what it does is it takes it and it bends it around. It has a matrix of cameras around the object it surrounds. So it knows other side where to emit light. So it looks like it's invisible because when you look at the front, it's taking information from the camera on the other side of the object. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that could be one way of doing it.
That's one way. Yeah.
Where they communicate in through this digital camera array. Another way is they could have particles, and the particles, like you were saying, the particles could travel through the object. So when you see through the other side, the particle is actually just transmitting data. It's not going around the object. It's like the particles are going through the hand.
Because Phlox was talking about particles.
Yeah, he wasn't talking about no poop particles. He was talking about
not poop particles. Quantum particles.
Quantum particles. It's very different than poop particles.
Sounds bad.
Quantum physics is hardly my specialty.
But the thing is like, I still for some reason expect that to require some source of power. I would accept maybe it's like e-ink. You know, have you seen those e-ink tablets? Those like those Kindles or whatever, the ones with e-ink. Those things apparently use like almost no power. They use very little power. So like they can last forever. They can last a long time because it's just all it requires is a positive charge or no charge. Or is it a negative charge and no charge? It requires either a charge or no charge. And if it's like charged, it means the e-ink blip goes up, and if it's not, it goes down, and that's how it creates images. And it requires very little power. So maybe it was just like the reason it wore off, because Phlox was saying it'll wear off eventually. It makes me wonder, does it wear off because it just kind of falls off or over time, or is it run out of juice over time?
Right. Okay.
You know, is it like, it's like when you get over a sunburn, it's not like the sunburn runs out of juice. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
The sunburn just wears off.
The damage in your skin, like, you know, regenerates.
Yeah.
Your skin like turns over.
Yeah.
Your skin turns over.
Exactly. So that's a question. That's my, it's not a theme of the episode, right, but it's my question of the day is how is the, because it was extra fucking creepy at the end when he was looking at his hand.
Yeah, and there was that little hole there.
Which was like interesting. That made me, that's what made me think about all this. Cause I was like, how is it possible that it can cloak one little dot on your hand? But I would think it would kind of be all or nothing, but it was weird.
So that sort of, I guess it's like, it's something that has to wear off. There's like, the way Phlox made it seem, it's like there was a blanket of particles surrounding his forearm, and they eventually, you know, shed.
Give it time. Give it time.
Give it time. Yeah.
Do you think so? So,
but for some reason, he was just really disturbed by seeing that little hole in his hand.
I mean, it was kind of disturbing to me too.
Yeah.
We're making excellent progress.
I cannot fault it. Yes.
Phlox wears off. Oh yeah, so what? There exists in nature just some inviso particles that make things look invisible. See, I don't think that's the case. I think you have to create.
I don't know how that cloaking shit works.
Yeah, it's a technology you got to create. I would imagine it requires a power source. I don't know.
Give it time. Give it time.
Do you know what I know about cloaking, Jesse? Do you know what I know about it?
No,
very little, I'm afraid.
Yep, you're getting some high-quality sound bite placement here. It's high quality.
Alien creatures.
Well, I suppose you're the captain of a pleasure boat.
You're a captain of the pleasure boat on the Intimacy Podcast, which you're listening to right now.
The Promenade is not a resort.
What episode was that from?
I don't know. We were talking about like maybe the first episode of Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm.
So Patrick's thing is, there wasn't really much of a theme, I guess.
It's a very it's Enterprise is like a real 2000s, has a real 2000s kind of flavor to it, you know, like the whole war on terror and everything.
Yeah.
And like it's this is a kind of a do your duty and sacrifice yourself for the things. I mean, there's a little bit of that, but there's also this kind of, we're not sure who the good guys and who the bad guys are in this conflict or what's really going on. We don't have any idea. It's just this sort of abstract conflict of these guys and those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's some kind of statement.
Yeah.
About contemporary times for the episode. These guys don't really seem like the good guys. So there's always, you know,
well,
lots of conflicts. There's no good guys and bad guys. It's morally ambiguous.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it works.
That's how it always is.
Is all that, that
secret
stuff.
There's good guys in Star Wars. And
yeah. But in military shit,
in real war, there isn't really good guys and bad guys. Everybody's killing each other.
Yeah. So. It kind of sucks all around.
Yeah.
So I guess you could say it's sort of an evolution towards the concept of prime directive, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that began
they're,
in season
they're
one.
Still holding true to these, the beginnings of the of a prime directive.
Mm-hmm. You know, the there's that whole thing about, like, at first Malcolm wanted to reveal to them that they were aliens, right? And then Archer's whole thing was like, he's like, well, they won't believe us anyways. There's no telling what they do, you know? By the way, apparently humans have a redundant renal organ. They're missing
that's neat.
Four thoracic vertebrae. And right. When he said, I can't begin to explain this mass, I think he was referring to the poop maker.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The crap factory. The
whole. So what, these guys were... These tight-assed aliens, they weren't pooping that much?
I don't know. I guess not. Because, like when he said this whole mass, what could that mean other than the intestines, you know? The whole stomach.
Yeah, we've got a complicated stomach and intestine, the whole...
Maybe they just
gastrointestinal system.
Maybe they just have whirling blades in their stomachs that kind of, like, grind up the food into a fine powder. Right. And then they soak it in some kind of stomach. There's like a
horsey sauce.
There's like a sack hole that's the
maybe
ground
they have
up
multiple
stuff.
Stomachs.
All these different types of sack holes that they put all their ground sack up food hole. In, and it like splits them up by like different nutrients, and then it soaks them in some kind of like goobery goop, and then it like comes out their butt. But it doesn't need like to traverse this long like intestine thing.
Yeah, it's a long way, man.
Yeah.
Clearly a different physiology.
Mm-hmm.
They have different... Another. This is another alien species that doesn't have red blood like we do.
Oh, yeah.
Not
right.
Iron. Toxic iron. Iron's
toxic. It's blood. It's red.
It's red. That was the High Talker from Seinfeld.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Remember the episode with the High Talker? It was like somebody's boyfriend and he had like...
Pell.
Like
that was who he was in this episode.
Yeah. He was like the doctor guy.
He reminded me of some kind of perverted Quentin Tarantino. Which sounds like...
Are we talking about the same guy? I'm talking about the guy that was like the doctor. He showed up a little bit later on. After.
Oh, the doctor? You're talking about Temek.
He was the guy that was like, these guys are aliens.
No, I was talking about Pell.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're talking about different people.
Yeah. Pell?
He was sort of a bald fellow.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay.
That was the High Talker.
Okay. This is the guy who looks like a perverted Quentin Tarantino. This guy.
Mm. I thought this technology was only theoretical.
That guy, right.
Yeah. Not the head dude. Just sort of the lackey guy.
Yeah.
You know.
What is it?
There appears to be another setting.
Some kind of coherent energy pulse. His blood. It's red.
It's red.
Yeah, that's actually Pell who says
it's like,
that.
That's what happens when you beat somebody's ass, dude.
Yeah. You know, they fucking had makeup on, like their makeup they used for... They were talking about how Phlox had to apply their like makeup.
That wasn't medical...
Yeah,
medical right. Disguise. That was theater disguise.
Yeah,
they
I know.
They could have done something better with like the replicator.
Yeah,
like,
well, they don't have replicators.
That's you're right. They don't.
Yeah.
Shit.
But it's funny because they peeled off kind of like when you watch Saturday Night Live and someone's mustache starts like coming off or something, like pushing it back on.
Right. They were beating them up and it was like, wait a minute, what's this?
What the fuck? But like, yeah,
it's
I was
not your mother. It's a man.
It's but yeah, that was totally not a job for Phlox, but I guess Phlox can do all sorts of fun shit, you know? Phlox,
he's a fun fellow.
Yeah, he's pretty fun. I'm into Phlox, you know? Who's not into Phlox?
I have no quarrel
Name
with
one
Phlox.
Person who's not into Phlox.
I can't.
Give it time. Give it time.
Are there people out there who dislike Phlox?
Very little, I'm afraid.
Is Phlox the best person ever?
You tell me.
I heard somebody once say that Phlox wasn't the best, was only number two.
Oh, that's nothing.
Man, the other day I slept for 8 hours and I stayed awake for 16 hours and I ate 3 square meals.
We're making excellent progress.
8 hours.
Hey, Phlox, you want to go into my, accompany me to my bedroom?
You're done here.
Phlox has been around the block.
So, okay, what I was saying before is that Malcolm was saying, like, they should be, he's like, we should tell them we're aliens. And Archer's like, no way, dude. They would never believe us.
Right.
And then, but then later on, they saw their ship. They saw their fucked up bodies, right? And they were, and Temek, or whatever, so he said there was only one explanation.
Yeah.
One explanation that they belong to a different species, okay? In reality, there's two explanations. The second explanation is the one that Malcolm said, which is we're genetically enhanced.
Yeah.
But like he, but the first, what matters is the first conclusion they came to was different species. That's the point where I think they would have bought into the idea that they could have been aliens.
They almost bought into it until they told them what they wanted to hear was like, no, we're from the Alliance and we're crazy super warriors.
Right.
But like, you know, like if you're, even genetic enhancements, you don't really think about like there being like total radical organ differences.
Right.
Like it's, you know.
Like why would you add a redundant renal gland?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like I'm a super warrior.
Yeah. You should add
to pee on you.
You should add like a redundant hearts or something like Klingon.
Yeah.
Shit, you know? But anyways, so yeah, so it was kind of like far-fetched to begin with that they were genetically enhanced, but yeah, they had it like they had it right there. Archer's whole argument for not telling them. At first, he actually added to that argument later. But at first, his whole argument was like, he was like, they wouldn't believe us anyways. No telling what they'd do. And so that's the point where he should have been like, well, actually, we are aliens. But later on, when Malcolm was bringing up the thing about the Vulcans helping out Earth, and he was like, we could be like the Vulcans who helped out Earth.
Right.
Later on, Archer said that was different. These people haven't even split the atom yet. The Vulcans waited until we were ready. Until we had the ability to travel to other stars, we're doing the right thing, Malcolm. I'm sorry you won't get a chance to write that report. So this is the first time Archer says anything about why they shouldn't tell them other than they would never believe us. Other than, like I said, he does say, like, there's no telling how they would react. But that was sort of focused, which could mean anything. It could have meant what he said right there. But it sort of pointed to, it seemed like his argument at first was mostly focused around, hey, they wouldn't believe us. That was the impression I got. So at that point, they would have believed him. And then the scientists look at the ship and they're like, our scientists tell me it's unlikely that a craft of this size could have traveled from another star system. And they suspect a larger ship must be
another ship from another star system.
And they were right about the whole thing.
Yeah.
They already suspect they're aliens.
High talker. Yeah.
Why not just tell them?
But
Archer said later, it's like, oh, well, you know, they haven't even split the atom yet. It's like,
can't tell them.
It's like, why didn't he bring that up earlier? Like, why did he wait? Because up until that point, I'm thinking like, if you're worried about them not believing you, now's your chance for them to fucking believe you.
Okay. Well, it's like, okay, at that point, it's too late. So they're just talking. They're just like, you know, yeah, I'll just tell them that we're from another planet. Like, they already know, as far as they know, they're going to die. Like, they're just having that discussion. Like, we know we're going to die and we're just shooting the shit.
Right? Which part are you talking about?
They're talking about at the episode the scene where Archer
and Malcolm are
talking and Malcolm talks about how it's ironic that we're gonna die to protect these people that want to kill us or whatever.
Oh yeah, he says it's ironic giving our lives to protect people who want to kill us.
Yeah, and then isn't that also when Archer is talking about how like no, you know, the Vulcans waited until, you know, like these people haven't even split the atom. When he gives that argument.
Well, when Reed says it's ironic giving our lives to protect people who want to kill us, Archer then says it's a big planet, Malcolm. I'm sure they're not all like that, which is interesting because
he's trying to make him feel better.
Yeah. But it's interesting that he says that it's a big planet. I'm sure they're not all like that because like there's so many episodes of like any kind of sci-fi series where it's like we talked about this before, you visit the planet and the planet is all like the same landscape and people.
It's a planet with nothing on it.
It's a planet of all people who go boop-de-boop all day.
Yeah.
You know? And then they wear flingle-flongs and they've got super blongo trees everywhere, you know, and that's the whole planet.
But when, okay.
Oh, he goes, then Reed goes, I'm not afraid. And then Archer says, what if we did tell them the truth?
Exactly.
But then Reed says, you said it yourself, Captain, they'd never believe it. Okay, here's my problem with that part is because Reed was referencing Archer's argument from the beginning, which was they'd never believe us.
Exactly.
But prior to this scene is when they say, like, okay, you guys are a different species. You have this weird spaceship. We think you probably have this greater big ship in space. They were right about the fact that they were aliens. And then, like, so now, granted, Archer was like, well, actually, we're from the Alliance. And then Malcolm's like, we're genetically enhanced. And then later Malcolm's like, you know, they said they'd never believe us. I think even though they said that they're from the Alliance, I think they could still convince them that they're aliens. Because
they were almost ready to believe that they were aliens.
Yeah.
So it's really like it's sort of
they shot themselves.
Makes the message a little bit even murkier.
Yeah.
Even more murkier.
Yeah, because it doesn't really make sense why they picked those.
Because because he's saying like, because okay, so we're meant to believe that they're like, okay, you guys are the Alliance. We got to kill you so we can dissect your shit and figure out why you're genetically whatever the fuck.
By the way, they didn't need to dissect. Like, Archer was straight up like, you don't need to kill both of us.
Right, you don't need to kill both of us.
And it tactically would have been smarter had they only killed Archer, because then they could question Malcolm, and if they couldn't get what they needed from Archer, they could just kill Malcolm later. Like, I don't know why they executed them both at the same time.
And so then he does a thing where he's like, well, you know, yeah, we'll just tell them that we're aliens, and, you know, and then they'll figure it all out. But, like, but you're right. They were already ready to do that. Like, it makes it unclear, like, what... That contributes to like what is the message of this episode?
Yeah,
like who are these guys? What are they fighting for? Like what's the deal? Like
I feel like the whole sequence of events between Archer saying like they wouldn't believe us, and then them almost believing them, and then them going back to the they won't believe us argument. It's almost like they like stuck some pieces together out of order or something, or not out of order, but they didn't. I was just confused by the train of logic that was going on in that. It's like it goes from they won't believe us to they'll believe us now, but we're not going to tell them. Back to like, well, they would have believed us before, but now we're convinced they still won't. They won't believe us again. Like it's like first they will, then they won't. I don't know. It was very confusing.
I'm not afraid, sir.
I agree.
If we saw, but what you were saying, about that line is, what if we told them the truth? You said it yourself, Captain. They'd never believe us. If we show them to the shuttle pod, bring. Oh yeah, that's the whole part where Archer's, he's all going like.
We probably all have a good laugh over how he almost sent us to the gallows.
And then Reed says, if we told them who we were, maybe they'd do them good. So now he's going like, okay, at the beginning of the scene, Reed's like, you said yourself, they'd never believe us. Now Reed's saying, if we did tell them who we are, maybe it would do them a world of good. It's like, so which is it, Reed? Which is it? They won't believe you, or it wouldn't do them any good? Because you seem to be going back and forth between these two arguments over and over again.
In a way, I understand that. I mean, it's a lot of contradictory talk, because these are people that have resign themselves to the fact that they're gonna die, so they're just talking,
they're just spitballing.
No,
and that's the only way I can sort of like,
but it still is this sort of it's still, we're not really sure what the message,
right, you know? Exactly. So no, and that's the one thing that I can sort of logic my way through it, like you said, Jesse, is that they're like, they're desperate, they're gonna die, and they're just trying to, like, their brains are going in every direction, but at the same time, it's presented in a way that I think is confusing. I don't know, because they don't seem to show other sort of signs of panic or anything like that. They just seem kind of resigned.
Well, they're pretty well trained. I mean, Malcolm's like, I'm not afraid. And like they know what they got to do.
They know
this
what they
is part
do.
Of. I guess even though there's no prime directive, somehow they know that doing their duty,
not duty,
is to perhaps sacrifice yourself for this mission. Not, you know, not contaminating a pre-war blah 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 blah.
I'm not afraid.
Even though there's no prime directive, they're still being true to this proto prime directive.
But you were right, though. After he says that maybe it would do him a world of good, look at what Vulcans did for Earth, you're right. That's when Archer goes, like, that was different. And then he talks about, like, how the...
It was really way... Like, we don't really know. This is some sort of, like, something equivalent to the 20th century... Early 20th century. It's like they're having like a World War One, World War II.
I feel like it was
I
feel like it was a little ahead of us, because those planes seemed kind of sleek. Did those planes...
Well, they did look sort of, you know...
That could have just been the quality of the special effects.
Futury, but...
Because I couldn't tell, like, those planes weapons, they sounded kind of like laser guns, but they didn't have, what was it? It was a...
regular, some kind of coherent energy pulse.
Yeah, the regular small arms were, like, regular old guns.
I know.
Not even, like, rat-a-tat-a-tat-a guns, just, like, regular, like, bap-bap.
Like, for a minute, at first I thought they were, like coherent...
Some kind of coherent energy pulse.
I thought that... Really? That's what they sounded like and looked like to me, and when I first saw the plane, it looked...
Perhaps it was the Doppler effect.
No, it was, like, it looked like little beamy shots, like little phaser shots. But I think all that was is that I think the special effects just weren't good enough to show that it was actually a machine gun or something. Or maybe, I don't know. Because the planes looked all futury.
Depending on the light. I mean, sometimes, you know, machine gun rounds get pretty hot depending on what you're doing.
Yeah. There, so. It just, for me, the special effect came across as like laser blasts, but I know they weren't. They were probably bullets because they didn't have
some kind of coherent energy pulse.
Yeah. Precisely. Yeah. So, but they did kind of look a little futury. We should probably go to a break.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready to go for a break?
Yeah.
Next time.
And we're back.
We're back.
Oh, my goodness.
This appears to be a computing instrument. Tell me, how does it work?
Now we're going to play a new game. It's called...
Oh, is there a game?
No, just inventing a game. It's called Jesse Slurps Coca-Cola directly on the microphone.
After the third break, it's time for a Coke.
It's called the Sights... Let's imitate sight singing class game.
Oh, no.
You want to play that game?
That's the worst class ever.
Yeah.
Where they just totally kick your butt.
Yeah, and you have to like sit in the class and go like, me, me, me.
I know. Me, me, me.
Okay, that was the imitating.
Sing for me.
Should we sing a song?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying that's what they do in that class. They're like, just sing this.
Yeah, yeah.
Read this music and sing it.
And then you always know who the voice majors are because they're all like fucking going overboard with it. It's like, man. It's like,
yeah, I know.
Like, show some restraint, man.
And they still can't do it either. They're just, it's like, it's hard for everybody.
Vocal students like have no restraint or something. They like, they don't understand what it's like to like, you know, not shut their, to like not keep their mouth open. They're always having to like keep their mouth open. And they're all handsy and like just like they're all like, "Oh, we're boisterous." Sorry if any of you are vocal students. I'm just funning you.
You've got more experience with that. You've got some kind of.
I'm just funning the vocal students.
Vocal damage over there.
I grew up with two singers.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, your brother's a singer.
Yeah. My mom was not like.
I always think of your brother. I mean, he plays various instruments, so I know. I don't think that he's like, you know, just. You know, precise, you know, exactly, just a singer. I never think of him as that.
Well, that's...
But he is, that's his specialty.
Yeah, is exactly what he is.
He's like an opera teacher or something. Yeah.
Or like a something director or something. Something. I don't know. But,
some kind of...
But no, I actually got that information not from my specific family members, but just being around them means I'm around a lot of vocal people. And I think it's kind of a joke among vocal students that they're just all kind of like, blah, you know?
Yeah.
Flirty and just like, you know, always going blah. And I know from being around vocal students, they just love to sing with tons of vibrato, even when it's all casual. You know, just like, it's like, I'm playing my instrument. Right. I better do it the best I can.
Vibrato.
They can't just sit there and go like, happy birthday to you. They have to like sing it in maximum like force, like vocal force. Yeah. They have to go take it out to another level every time.
That's what. Yeah, that whole
I suppose I'd
classical
do,
singing.
I'd know. Suppose I'd do the same thing if I was expected to play my trombone as much as vocal students are expected to sing. The only reason vocal students
are... Well, it's the same concept. Yeah.
The thing is with vocal students, it's not... It's they sing more because the instrument's built onto your body. Whereas a trombone, you can't just like carry a trombone with you everywhere and just play it like in place of talking. Wouldn't that be something, though? If I had to carry my trombone...
You can do that if you're like a teacher in Peanuts.
Yeah. if I could carry my trombone around with me at all times and play as much as a vocal student sings, maybe I would go overboard with like the with my like showing off like they would. I don't know. Wouldn't that be something if in a world where everyone could choose what instrument
trombone globets.
In a world where everyone chose what instruments they express themselves through and they had to carry that instrument with them at all times.
Isn't
and that's
that
how
the world?
No, because like if you picked a trombone, you couldn't talk. You'd have to play your trombone instead of talking.
Oh, I see. Yes.
And voice students and no, there would be a separate mode where there would be a music. No, this is getting really complicated.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I think this is getting too complicated.
Yeah.
I think you get the picture. Okay,
that's a different podcast.
Yeah, that was the
intimacy podcast.
That was the game that we just finished. The game.
The game.
The game. On the It's Got Star Trek / Intimacy podcast. All right, now here is the next message from Patrick.
Oh, word.
Jam Blaster or whatever it was. Was that what his name
Jam
was?
Jam Blaster.
Yeah, Jam Blaster P.
Hello, Dan and Jesse of It's Got Star Trek podcast fame. This is Patrick, longtime host, first time caller.
Oh,
and Seabirds. I wanted to ask you all, since you are ostensibly, presumably, according to the social media that I've been reading so much about, you guys are going to be talking about Star Trek Enterprise's The Communicator.
That's right.
Which is at season 2, episode 8, I think. And this is another episode in which Captain Archer gets captured and repeatedly punched in the face. And while watching this, I was thinking, I was like, you know, that happens a lot to our old friend Captain Archer. I think a lot more, probably, I guess, a lot more than any of your old, you know, Picards or Kirks.
Sure.
I don't know how many times Sisko got punched in the face. Very few people were there, I think.
He punched him back.
Twice, I think. But, so forgive me in advance if I'm wrong. If Archer is not punched more often than average. And I'm not expecting you all to do a census or whatever to get the statistics. But what do you think this says about our boy Archer? About the characterization that some of his roles is to get repeatedly punched in the face.
Answer me.
By various aliens. I will take my answer off the air,
but not joking.
Not before stating that I've recorded this on a Google Pixel 7
Pro. Doing that again.
A phone I find quite delightful. And I've generally been happy with the Google Pixel.
You hear that, Jesse? Yeah,
hear that, Jesse, from the other show.
Open Pike Night.
All right. Thanks so much, gents. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
I'm not joking, Lee.
You know, incidentally, I think we played these in the wrong order. I think that was supposed to have been the first.
That was the second one. Yeah, it was. I think that was. Because
he's like introing the episode, and he says first time caller, and the second one he says something about like second time caller.
Oh, that's
And the one before he was talking about like the theme of the episode. That you start talking about the theme, you don't talk.
You know, he's going to edit it. Maybe he can edit it back.
Maybe edit it back.
Yeah.
That'd be a wild feat of sound audio strength. Archer getting punched in the face. Well, we got one of Archer getting punched in the gut.
Oh, it's gonna hurt.
You want to hear some light? Remember when they were shooting the phasers at the? They were doing the phaser blast on the carts, those dollies or whatever they were, those crates.
Uh-huh.
Remember they were testing them out. Remember when they were testing them out? This is the light. This is phasers on light. Okay, now here's Pell.
There appears to be another setting.
Now here's Heavy. Light. Heavy. That's when the box blew up. Yeah. Isn't that neat? So Archer getting punched in the face. What do you say about Archer getting punched in the face, Jesse? He did get gut punched pretty good.
Well, it was, you know, as opposed to or in comparison with other captains.
Other captains. Yeah, Picard didn't really get punched in the face too much.
Nobody's really punching Picard in the face. And Sisko either.
Kirk got punched around every once in a while.
Kirk was punching people in the face. He didn't get punched in the face. He punched people. Kirk was socking people.
I think Sisko.
Nobody was socking Janeway.
No. Sisko.
Thankfully.
Sisko would punch people. All I can think is the time that Q punched him and then he like punched him back.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think that's true. I think Archer gets beat up the most. But he's equipped to handle such a punch with that big square jaw of his. Do you notice that when Pell punched him, he all like shook his hand after. He's like, ah.
Yeah.
So because he hit that big square sexy Archer jaw.
Yeah.
You know, so he can take it.
They feel all right.
So yeah, that was, what else was there? That was basically the whole question Patrick had, wasn't it?
What was his question?
Is something about Archer punching people? Is that
getting punched?
Getting punched?
Grand.
So I guess that was that. We're on our own from here.
Oh, no.
Good thing we only got 15 minutes left.
Oh.
We started into the show pretty late, too. Okay, so how about this? Trip Tucker III, he's such a boss engineer that in his spare time, he works on Suliban cell ship cloaking devices. Fucking boss, man.
Yeah, he was working on that since like the first episode, I guess.
Yeah, it's just like whenever I have free time, like working on ships all day, I work on ships. Like, Jesus, don't you like
Suliban cell ship?
Doesn't he like play like a fucking video game or like play bongo ball or whatever they play in Star Trek? They don't have Parisi squares there or what was that martial art they had in TNG, the Senjutsu or what? Let's see, TNG martial art.
Oh shit!
It's Anbo Jutsu.
Anbo Jutsu, yeah.
They don't have Anbo Jutsu or Parisi squares.
They did that in Lower Decks, Anbo Jutsu.
Yeah, Parisi squares, DS9.
Yeah, that's all later. That comes later. That like these people, they don't have, you know, they're probably just playing chess and shit.
Yeah, you never see them play any fucking games, man.
Yeah.
So they got to work on fucking cloaking devices.
They forgot
and shit.
The games in the nuclear war.
Yeah. Fuck. That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, dude.
Let
that be a warning.
Let that be a lesson to you all. See what else? What else we got? We already talked about the surgery. Oh yeah, don't you hate it? Don't you hate it? Don't you hate it when you're on vacation?
Yes.
And you get home and you're all like, I'm home from vacation. First of all, I get that
I have to go to work tomorrow.
Or like, not just I have to go to work tomorrow. I have to go to work
right now.
Yeah. It's like, fuck that. And not my work isn't just at the office. It's on a fucking planet where I gotta like go get into a bunch of bullshit. I felt really bad for them at the beginning of the episode. I was like,
oh no,
man.
I know. Yeah, right. They came back and they were like,
oh boy, I'm tired.
I should have spent more time at the gym.
Yeah, I'm ready for a big long nap. But no, they're not. That's funny though. It's true what he said. It's like, vacation's cool, but it's always nice to come home. But then that got me thinking, like, what's the point?
That wasn't really a vacation.
Why, yeah, right. Like, why go on vacation if you're so happy to come home? I get the concept, but at the same time, my way of, like, handling that situation is to just not go on vacation. Because that way,
did you need to really go on vacation?
Yeah. My vacation is usually spent home.
You
of
just
course.
Wanted to stay home, so yeah. Stay home. Yeah.
But I guess I miss out on a lot of, like, life lessons and opportunities and things like that.
But there's neat stuff to see out there, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have to.
I'd leave the house if it meant I could go to space. How about that?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I'd go right. to space. I'd live in
right.
I'd live on Mars for a year. Would you?
It's kind of cold there.
Well, you'd have some kind of facility that you lived in.
If they had a facility, I would go there.
If I had a facility and a PlayStation, I'd go
there.
Or Nintendo
like,
or something.
Potatoes or something.
If I had video games and
they're yummy.
I could even do without a computer if I just had a few video games. I can, you know, play some game, you know, or like play some kind of like, I couldn't live on cards for a year. Fuck that. Cards.
Would you play Arkanoid?
Cards.
Oh,
gets,
cards? No.
Like when you play spades.
A little bit of cards.
A little bit of spades or something is fun, but after a while I'm just like, oh God, I don't want to play cards anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, absolutely. Like it's cool for a little bit. Like,
yeah.
It's not a lifetime.
If I had Arkanoid with the special like controller.
With a thing, with the roller
with the roller paddle thing, yeah.
It's the king of games.
Boom, 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 boom. That's a pretty spacey game.
Who knows what we're talking.
It's basically Breakout, the old school game Breakout that's like all pumped up. Oh, yeah. oh, before I forget. Before I forget. Before I forget, I want to ask you something. I want to tell you something and then
Who?
And then ask you something.
Me?
You.
All right.
I want to ask you something, Jesse.
Me.
And what I want to ask you is this. It is as, can you please, you have to slurp on right in the microphone.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I thought it was funny.
Yes, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. Maybe that's what they were. They were the hilarians. You know who played General Gossus? No, you don't.
Well, he was some dude that was in a bunch of other shows. Like, yeah. Was he in like Erie, Indiana?
I don't know. but I can tell you his name. Do you remember his name?
No, I don't.
His name is Francis. Now get ready for this. Guinan.
Guinan. Okay, I remember that. I did read about that fellow, and now I remember his name.
And it's spelled the same as Guinan is in TNG.
Isn't that funny?
That's something else. Maybe
that. Do you think he's Guinan?
Maybe. Maybe he's Guinan.
No, it doesn't act like Guinan.
No. You're even more delusional than we thought.
It's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have expected that.
So that was that one. They thought they threw his communicator in the trash can. Remember that? They were all like looking through the trash can. He's all like, well, maybe it's in the garbage can.
like on the ship, right? Like yeah. Once they got back. Yeah, they're like looking all over. It's like, is it in this one? Like,
but they brought it all around because at the end, Archer lost his communicator.
I know.
Right? Because like...
what a schmo.
Yeah. Because like Malcolm was all fucking feeling self-conscious about it. So like he was like, you should punish me. And then like yeah. Archer was like...
How about 30 years in the brig? Or maybe a good flogging.
Right? And he was like, it's an accident, man. It's all good. And then Archer fucked it up later. And right. So it was just like, see? It's all good. Everyone makes
it's
mistakes.
Starfleet. I'm going to fuck up too. So it's not the British Navy.
Where all the fucking like officers fuck up and lose their technology on like pre-warp planets. I think like that's problematic if on the same mission you lose your shit twice. Even though Archer didn't technically lose his shit, Malcolm recovered it. Malcolm had it. He shouldn't have had it. Archer should have had his shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know. It was very convenient at the end when they were all shooting at each other. Archer collected all his goods. It was like all out in the open on some table that was like right there. It's like, oh, it's all right here laid out, you know, all the alien technology.
Yeah, they weren't all that secure.
No.
Well, that shows, I mean, they were still pre-atomic, so, mm-hmm. You know, security's bad. Who knows if they even had like proper locks and shit.
They didn't even have keys.
Maybe they didn't even have keys.
They lived in caves.
They didn't live in caves.
No, because they had...
That was a pretty substantial compound.
That's what I was saying. Their spaceships... Their spaceships looked... Or their airships looked more futuristic than ours. Although, we don't really have as much dogfighting going on. But I suppose if somebody attacked from the sky... No.
Well, they looked like, you know, fanciful sort of, you know, fighter jets.
Yeah.
From not fighter jets, but fighter planes.
And how much do we really use fighter plane technology anymore?
Not anymore, but like in the 20th century.
Yeah, but I'm saying like... I think this era that this planet represented was supposed to be the 20th century view of like 30 or 40 years from now or something.
Really? But they were even pre-atomic.
Yeah.
They said they hadn't split the atom. So that would have been, you know, for us something early 20th century.
Isn't fission splitting the atom?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we have fission. Right, it's fusion we don't have.
Yeah, we don't got a fusion.
Yeah, no. Okay, never mind. Yeah, that's actually a good point. But like their ships though looked fancier than the well, I guess it's not a perfect analog to our Earth. There's no reason to try to think that it should look exactly
like Earth.
It's just
sort of a, you know.
The ships looks fancy to me.
A fanciful analog.
Maybe it was so old, yeah, it's just set so far back that they didn't know that genetically enhanced humans wouldn't have weird organs or added stomachs. I don't know what we're talking about. Okay, so yeah, that compound. I actually paused it on the compound and looked at it for a while. It was pretty neat. I was into it.
It was cool how they had like that, like view screen, and everything was like in this these perfect little squares. It's like this square and this square and this square. It's like, oh, this square is 30 kilometers far. They couldn't have gotten that far by this way.
Whoops, sorry about my computer. Oh, are you talking about when
like Hoshi- their little map? Yeah, like Hoshi had that map,
mm-hmm.
And it was.
When they were trying to find their shit.
Google 3D maps.
Yeah, see, they had satellite... They used their own satellite maps. There was a scene where, like, there was a shot from the compound. I can't remember when it was, but there was some dude all walking around on the compound. Oh, yeah, it was, like, after Phlox gave Trip Tucker III the glove for his cloaked hand, and we see a shot of the compound directly after that. It's got all that mountains in the background, which is pretty neat. I like that. It was, like, in the middle of this... I like when things are in middle of the giant, like, endless field.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, look at all that field out there. And you're just in this little thing in the middle of this giant field. So many monsters could get you.
Yeah.
If they were just, like, 200-foot monsters, they could just stomp you.
They probably have monsters there. That's why they're assholes.
But did you notice there was a little dude wandering around in the center? I thought that was neat.
No, I didn't. I did miss that little dude.
Yeah. Now we're going to play the game. Tell me, guess why this is funny. Okay? Can you guess why this is funny, Jesse?
I can try.
Okay. Tucker says, What if they didn't see us coming? We've still got that Suliban cell ship, the one we used to rescue Klang from the Helix. I've been working on it in my free time. I'm pretty close to figuring out how it works. If I can bring the cloak online, we can get past their defenses, grab our people, and no one will see a thing. To which T'Pol says, work quickly. To which Tucker says, I could use a hand. Why is that funny?
Well, because his hand was all invisible.
Yeah, you got it. Bing.
But like that was like the first episode, and like this is like in the second season. It's like what he's been really like taking it easy. Like he's like I work on this in like my super free time. It's like mm-hmm. if I fucking feel like it. Like because that's like been it's been years or something.
Oh, has he been working on that since the?
Well, this first is it's already second season. So that was I don't that remember. Was like the first episode was what like Klang was like wasn't Klang like the Klingon dude?
Oh. Yeah, I guess you're right. Klang was, yeah, he was, or he was, yeah.
Sounds like a Klingon.
Yeah, he was the Klingon, right, you're right. So I guess. But I mean, it's his spare time, man, and he doesn't, what do we know about fucking cloaking technology? Nothing. It's a lot to work on. He's got his plate pretty full with that Enterprise, you know what I mean?
Trip Tucker the Third.
But it was funny because he said, I could use a hand, and he lost his hand later. That is why that line is funny, although I don't think that's what they meant to
say. Isn't Mayweather the tactical guy?
I could use a hand.
He's not like the
engineer. No, Malcolm is the tactical.
Oh, okay.
He's just helping out.
He's just helping out. I'm just saying he's not an engineering guy. He's the guy that drives.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's just a different discipline, that's all.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, if you're working on a car and you got some dude next to you and you're like, hand me the wrench, you know.
Yeah, word. Okay. And because
I'm sure
one of his hands was missing.
And yeah, that too.
He needed a hand.
Yeah, but he didn't know he needed a hand, right? Because one of his hands was going to be missing. He must have known it was going to be missing. Plus, I have a feeling that Mayweather knows his way around a few things, you know.
Well, mechanically speaking. He works on the ship. He drives the ship, so.
Yeah.
He know, you know, had a little bit.
Mm-hmm. We never actually find out how they got the cloaking to work on the Suliban cell ship. He was just like, I hope we can get it to work. We'll get it to work on the way down if we have to. And then it starts, then it just works.
Somehow it worked enough, at least for them to fool those fucking fools.
Right? Yeah, those fucking fools. So Malcolm fucked up.
That's my opinion.
So this is how Malcolm fucked up. He fucked up by losing the communicator. He's the reason they were going to get executed because, like, his way of getting them out of the problem, dude. He was like, we're superhumans.
Oh, no. Okay.
Go ahead. Take our organs and study
us.
We
can't figure it out, so we're going to kill them and analyze their organs.
It's like, we have something very valuable that you want. We're superhumans with superhuman abilities, which is just asking to be dissected. Yeah.
We work for your enemies.
Yeah.
Your enemies are making superhumans.
And then he did a chumpy. I like that they did a sort of a sideways reference to his like chumpy attempt to like get out of execution by having an upset stomach, because there was one part where they at that end scene they begin the end scene with Archer goes, an upset stomach, do you really think he'd fall for that? And he says, well, maybe old trick where we come from, but maybe they haven't heard of it here. That's where it begins. So I think Malcolm was probably trying to say like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom, and then he was probably gonna make a run for it or something. But like, that's also, that was kind of like, I liked how that was sort of like put in there on the side. Like they didn't show though. Maybe they did actually originally have, I bet you they originally had a scene where he was trying to pull that trick and they had to cut it or something. Or maybe they really intended to just be a sideways reference. I kind of like it as it is now where it's like kind of like offhanded, but like, I can't believe you thought an upset stomach would work. But yeah, so Malcolm's not winning a lot of points this episode. And at first... Archer is all like saying to him, he's like, you know, it's cool, man. Don't worry about it. You know, we people lose shit sometimes.
Right,
but then
it's
when,
the future,
but then, yeah. But then when the organ thing happens, he's like, really, like, great, great job getting us executed, basically. Archer is all like being like really understanding of Malcolm when Malcolm like loses communicator. But then when Malcolm tries to like tell him they're superhumans, that's when Archer's all like,
right.
Yeah, he's like very creative, Malcolm, genetic enhancements, kind of like saying like, motherfucker, like you fucking thought that's a great idea, genetic enhancements, just why don't you tell him we've got a body full of gold, you know what I mean? And
right,
then that's when he's like, improvisation is my strong suit. Then he said something weird. He says, you made us sound like the Suliban, which was a weird thing to say. That was kind of like a xenophobic kind of weird thing. He's like, he was like almost like Archer was offended by the fact that like He made, because they were genetically enhanced, he's like, you made us sound like Suliban. It's like, who gives a shit what you, first of all, who gives a shit what you sound like if it works, which it didn't. It was a bad idea for Malcolm to like start opening his yammer about like all the cool shit they had. It's like, to give him an excuse to execute him.
Yeah.
But like, on top of that, he's like, oh, you made us look like those shitty Suliban. You know, it's, I don't know. That was, it was a little xenophobic, I think, on Archer's part.
Yeah. Well, Archer doesn't, he starts out, he's not too cool with the Vulcans.
Yeah. He's not cool with a lot of like aliens. But he's still doing his thing. He's still Archer.
They got no quarrel with Phlox.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Who would? Who would, after all? So when they came down, though, we got to wrap this up in a minute. When they came down to the planet, like, they should have just not taken all their phasers and shit. They should have, like, brought knives or something.
Right, yeah.
Because,
exactly,
like, what's the best case scenario of bringing your phasers? The best case is nothing happens. But what's the best case for using your phasers? You use it.
Yeah.
And then they see that it's like, what are those fucked up guns they just shot us with?
Like, you would, yeah, exactly. You would think, like okay, we're not going to use our phasers, so, like, not bring them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just going to lead to trouble.
Like, yeah. There's no way that you can use a phaser and not, unless you get them from behind, but, like,
yeah. And, like, don't put that shit in, like, your pocket where it's gonna fucking fall out, dude. God.
Yeah, I know. Like, but, like, it fell out both Malcolm and Archer's pocket.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I don't know why they, like, it was kind of funny that they just kept making their situation worse and worse. It's, like, first the communicator, then it's our phasers, and we finally ended up with a fucking cloaked fucking spaceship that, like, comes down to the planet. So, I don't know. I think they should have...
One of the guys got a cloaked hand.
Yeah, I don't know the logic quite behind bringing the phaser. It seems like the right thing to do because you want to protect yourself, but there's got to be other ways that aren't going to be so obviously futuristic. It's like you shoot them, they're going to be like, you got a phaser. What is that weird shit? So they fucked that up. And then T'Pol fucks... Oh, yeah, and then T'Pol fucked it up because when she's trying to contact them, the dudes had, like, the communicator, and like, which one do you use, the captain? Because someone's trying to contact you. So everything they did was just... They were just digging themselves deeper and deeper this whole episode. So this was kind of an episode where, like, this was, like, a lesson in what not to do in Starfleet. They didn't handle any of that situation well. It was interesting in that it showed them being... basically, for the most part... They don't really stress that they're like this, but they are kind of incompetent the whole episode. It's kind of interesting to see that even...
Yeah, they're really kind of blowing it.
Yeah, and they don't outright... The episode doesn't try to, like, throw it in your face to say, to say, these people are incompetent. But their actions, if you look at them, nothing is really working out that well. And it ends with the planet totally being, like, you know, they've changed the course of their fucking war. Like, imagine if some of our wars, like, the course was changed by, you know, some shit like that. That'd be fucked up.
Probably what happened.
Yeah. It's not cool. don't have to leave technology behind to contaminate a culture. Tell me if you think he says the last word weird here.
And your devices, are they prototypes as well?
I'm going to play short version.
Prototypes as well.
Doesn't he say well weird?
Prototypes as well.
He goes whale.
Prototypes as well.
Whale.
Prototypes as well.
We're the only
whale.
Ones.
Prototypes as well.
Whale.
Prototypes as well.
Whale.
Alien creatures.
Okay.
It's just a crazy idea.
Holograms?
Chief O'Brien?
Where would I stay?
Sabotage. You're done here.
Oh, no.
Give him the grand tour.
It's a plausible explanation.
What is it?
You ever had the grand tour before?
Nah, they were making excellent progress.
I'm a regular bloodhound.
That's going in the vault of the best of.
I'm a regular bloodhound. 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 I'm a regular bloodhound.
Okay, I think we better, like, end this now, so to take some mercy on Patrick, who will still be editing this episode.
Feedback.com.
Feedback.com at It's Got Star Trek. At It's Got Star Trek.
Yes.
Through, you know, you go on the Twitter or and the Mastodon and...
Oh, man.
I'm not going to call Twitter X because that's really ridiculous. And, like, it's really extra weird because apparently they have, like, porn on Twitter now. So it's like... I was just reading something and they were talking about, like, how Twitter... It was talking about how Twitter got rid of the ability to look at people who liked your your comments. That's the newest thing, is that, and in that same article, it was talking about, it's like, oh, also this comes like on the heels of them adding straight porn to Twitter. So it's kind of funny. It's called X and it has porn on it. So this is how like companies evolve into something else. Like 30 years from now, it's going to be just like a porn site and it's just going to be called X. Maybe this was Elon Musk's like plan all along, is to just create the ultimate porn site called X, you know, for porn.
Elon X.
Because like, you know, they had those triple X movies, you know, and those things like that. So just call it X, because it's like sleeker than triple X, but it's a platform.
Sleek.
I wonder if you're going to have to start using a VPN to use Twitter. Anyways, we're on Twitter at It's Got Star Trek. We're on the Mastodons and the Facebooks. Look at It's Got Star Trek.
YouTube's.
www.itsgotstartrek.com. Feedback. Not feedbag, but feedback.
You'll never see us coming.
At itsgotstartrek.com.
I'm a regular bloodhound.
I'd remember.
You're even more delusional than we thought.
I could use a hand.
Right away.
This appears to be a computing instrument. Tell me, how does it work?
What else do we have to say? Anything else?
I don't think so.
This has been the It's Got Star Trek / Intimacy Podcast with Jesse, Dan, and Patrick in spirit. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Next time.
This would be a lot easier if there was a button marked cloak.